You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara with you. Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. I sound different to myself. I've got new headphones. Yeah. I was talking about them yesterday. Noise canceling Beats headphones. So my voice sounds different. Anyway, good morning to you. Hope you're having a good Tuesday so far. We're going to check the news. How about Notre Dame's cathedral burning? Like, I mean, how weird was that? Are you kidding me? And how does that even happen? I haven't looked at the news relative to that stuff this morning. You know, how does that... You know, you see renovations on major historical landmarks, right, all around the world, and none of them catch on fire. How does one of France's signature, you know, historical sites catch on fire? Wow. Yeah, the only thing, I mean, it was crazy watching it on TV. Like, the only thing you needed was like Quasimodo jumping off the bell tower or something like that. Like, are you shitting me? Well done. Well done, Mr. Macron. That dude, he kind of proclaimed himself as the leader of the free world. Shit has not gone well for that dude, man. So there's a lesson in that for all of us. Be careful about proclaiming yourself as the leader of the free world. Might not be what everybody needs. So anyway, good morning to you. There's a bunch of stuff in the news that we need to talk about, and then I'm going to compare and contrast something that happened in the news with things that didn't happen in the news. Yeah, designed to be a little bit cryptic for you right there. And then, let's see, General Furness is going to join us, CG 2nd Marine Division. So, actually, he called during the program yesterday. And it's kind of funny. He calls during the program yesterday, but I just think it's him, like, forgetting, like he does, that I'm on the air. So, but he wasn't here. He had some free time. He wanted to talk about post-traumatic winning coming back to the division, and I blew him off. So I call him back later, and so we record about 30 minutes, and so you'll hear that this morning. It's interesting. interesting, his thoughts on how it's changed and whatnot. So you'll hear that. You'll also hear one of the guys who wrote a book called Islands of the Damned. And it turned out to be the basis for one of the books that The Pacific was based on. And he passed away. So you're going to hear from him today, too, in the second hour as well. And he was a mortarman in Eugene Sledge's company. Yeah, pretty crazy that two guys would write books and both of them out of the same mortar section. Yeah, pretty amazing. So, and you know, it's interesting when you listen to him talk. He is very soft-spoken. You know, you get the feeling when he's speaking that he doesn't really enjoy this very much, you know, and, so it's interesting to hear him speak. His answers are short, and they're not ornate, if I can describe the way he speaks. They're not ornate answers. And so you get the feeling when you listen to him, he's not really... He's more of a writer than he likes to be in public in front of people and with a microphone in his mouth speaking. So, but interestingly enough, he was in 5th Marines. He was in 3-5 Kilo Company before Eugene Sledge was. So he actually makes the fight on Cape Gloucester. Which, if you ever hear about the fight the Marines had in places like Bougainville and Cape Gloucester, they describe just horrible, horrible conditions during which the fighting took place. Just monsoon rains that you were just soaked the entire time you were there, and things like jungle rot and things that we don't really pay too much attention to anymore. I guess unless you were in that situation. So that's what we'll do today. Watching the thing, at the cathedral yesterday of Notre Dame, it's just like, how does something like that happen, All over the world we have things or maybe did it happen on purpose? So I guess we'll stand by for news of that and, is there any news? I haven't even looked today. What was the cause of the fire? And you see different things with different stories coming out. And one is that there's a picture of a cross remains in the ruins. That the stained glass windows that were so famous survived. Police have launched a criminal probe. Right. There was an alarm sounded 23 minutes before the blaze was detected. Estimates is that it could take decades to rebuild the damage. And then there's a story about a hero priest who rescued relics from the cathedral. So imagine in the next couple of days there would be a whole series of stories that come out of things people did. The hero who saved the Crown of Thorns, Fire Brigade Chaplain, entered the flaming Notre Dame to recover holy relics 3 years after he bravely helped Bataclan terror victims. Jean-Marc Fournier saved the Crown of Thorns from the blaze in Notre Dame. A French priest who helped the wounded at the Bataclan terror attack on Paris. That was a club that was attacked, I believe, and who survived an ambush in Afghanistan also emerged as a hero of the Notre Dame fire today. Jean-Marc Fournier, chaplain of the Paris Fire Brigade, rushed straight for the relics housed in the cathedral to rescue the Blessed Sacrament and the Crown of Thorns relics from the blazing building on Monday night. It was feared that both religious artifacts would be lost as flames engulfed the medieval building, but Father Fournier made sure that they were taken safely. So, how about that? So I'm sure over the course of the next few days, you'll see different stories that come out. The other thing I want to talk about today is, well, we'll talk about it in the news this morning, but a case of sexting and fraternization got a reserve major, listen to this, 18 months confinement and $5,000 fine. How about that? Now, we've seen people be, let's see, the battalion commander in Parasana, where a recruit died as a result of a gunnery sergeant who was still under investigation for hazing, being employed as a drill instructor when he wasn't supposed to be. Now, he got a fine for that. And will more than likely, I haven't seen anything that talks about his, I think they're going to do a BOI on him to see if he'll retire at his current rank. So, that stands in stark contrast, as does what just happened with the Fitzgerald. You know, people die, and nothing to see here. Keep moving. Officer justice. You know, and again, the CNO, his comments, and I'll read you a few snippets from an article that a friend sent me over the weekend, I will post it today because it's a pretty interesting reading. But it's from the perspective of, these things are being adjudicated. And while they're being adjudicated, probably best, if you're in that chain, best keep your mouth shut, right? Is that hard? Or is it because the media is constantly asking you questions that you feel like you have the need to talk? Don't you understand? I'm involved in that event. I don't have any comment to say other than the investigation, when it sees the light of day, will be fully explained to the American people. So, yeah. So, military justice is often in the crosshairs on this program, and you'll see the dichotomy that exists within military justice. So interesting. But, yeah. Mac, tell me about the later start. Well, there's a whole lot more going on with post-traumatic winning. So when I started it, I wanted to come on at 10 o'clock Eastern time. And so in order to build the audience. Well, I think the audience knows where to find it now. And I don't think the audience on the East Coast cares if it spans their lunch hour. And then they can listen to it on the podcast. So if they listen to it, they listen to it, and it's readily available. The question ultimately comes down to getting up that early in the morning out here to put it all together, to make it all happen. And so, shorter show by an hour, and start a little bit later for my quality of life, plain and simple. So it helps me. And in case you don't know, this. The whole All Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning, I would just tell you this, gets bigger by the day. And it's exciting. And so I need a little bit more time to devote to the business side of this. For instance, working today and yesterday on standing up a small group of people that have reached out to me individually and to try to loosely configure them as mentors to people that would call and say, I'm really struggling. Or send me an email and just ask them, hey, man, would you like to talk to other people that have been through what you've been through and are in a better place now? Wow. Yeah. Would you mind? No. Call this guy right here. And he's got a bunch of people that, you know, so just something like that. Just mentors, if you will, kind of like, LinkedIn mentors or Veterati mentors that Batiste mentors would deal with trauma. So, you know, just stuff like that, that you see a need for it and then you can affect it. So you know, you try to see if you can help in that way too. So, anyway, a few thoughts as we get the program going this morning. Good morning to you. An hour later, the United States Marine Corps Band makes even this hour official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to a writer, and he got out of the Marine Corps as a sergeant. He wrote a book called Islands of the Damned. His name is R.V. Bergen, and he went by R.V., right? So you look up his name, and you find out why he went by R.V. Bergen. And hold on, it's one of those old ethnic names that you hear it and you're like, oh, no wonder he went by R.V. Bergen. Romulus, Romus, I'm sorry, R-O-M-U-S, Valton, V-A-L-T-O-N, Bergen. You know, every day when he went to school, the first day of school, when they read your name off, he probably just went, ah, shit, here we go again. I gotta listen to this crap for a day, maybe longer. So this is dedicated to him. Again, the book he wrote, and his quiet service, you know, I think is an inspiration for everybody who serves. And what the Marines who fought in the Pacific in World War II endured is amazing. Honestly, it's amazing. And, you know, that was the foundation for so many Marines that have served in their wake. So just dedicated to him. And then coincidentally, he served in the same mortar section as Eugene Sledge, which is another kind of post-traumatic winning and all-Marine radio hero. So congratulations, they're together again. Give Sledge our best. Dedicated to Sergeant R.V. Bergen, United States Marine Corps.
Our flag comes through to every reach. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather right now in Marineland. Currently, it is cloudy and 58 in Quantico. It is sunny and 60 at Camp Lejeune. It is cloudy and 69 in Granbury, Texas. Cloudy and 58 at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy and 58 in 29 Palms. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, and 69. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark late in the day. I'm sorry, it is cloudy late in the day and 83 degrees, so warming up there. In Helmand province of Afghanistan, it's cooled off a little bit. It is early in the evening, 66 degrees under clear skies. Okinawa's got three weather warnings, weather alerts, so we have to do all weather radio right now. There's a high wave advisory in Okinawa. There's a gale advisory and a thunderstorm advisory. So if you're listening in Okinawa, there's the latest in your weather. That's right, courtesy of your friends here at All Marine Radio. You're home for it. Currently, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 59 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for a high of only 64 today. 71 tomorrow, 78 on Thursday. That'll work. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. There's a bunch of bad news, right? There's a bunch of bad news in the in the news, and so we'll talk about some of that. And then I'm gonna compare and contrast the inept nature in which military justice works. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And it happens right here on your home for it. The ever-changing, ever-wonderful All Marine Radio on the most wonderful All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Uh-huh. Colleen drove the truck for the first time yesterday. Like, I mean, like out in traffic, not like around a parking lot or something like that. Yeah, she straight up sucks. No, well, kind of. Teaching kids to drive, man. And, you know, it's, you don't really consider it till you got to teach them again. You don't even think about it, right? You've done it for so long, it's just something that you do. So watching them try to do it, oh my God. Anyway, I'll tell you what, I had a really, Colleen and I had to go to get, she's having problems with the foot, and so I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's like a tendon strain, and so she had to get a boot, blah, 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 aggravated with all the stress that gets put on your ankle as you swim. So normally, so anyway, I have a problem when I go on the road, and that is the mixer that I use weighs about 10 pounds, which is an issue when you travel. Because the airlines, they charge you for your bags, right? So you get one bag, it can weigh 50 pounds, you pay $30. If it violates the 50-pound rule, you know how much money you have to pay? Like if you brought a second suitcase, it would cost you $30 for the second suitcase. If your bag reaches, if it goes beyond 50 pounds, it's $100 in addition to the 30. I said, what? Like, why wouldn't you just charge me for a second bag? It's not the way we do it. Okay, I guess. So what I did was I have to get a lighter mixer, and I have to, you've heard some of the audio crap that I go through. Anyway, I needed something that worked better. Something newer. So I did all of that and traded in a sound card interface thing that I bought and cost me $40. And it's way better. That's right. It's way better. I can't tell you how excited I am about it. Yeah. If you can't, you can hear it in my voice, right? Yeah. So yeah, that was good yesterday. So, and then I came home and I set it all up. And it's nice. So anyway, all right, let's get on to the news. And then you're going to hear General David Furness, blah, 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 blah. All right, first story is a bad one. One Marine Raider killed, two injured in an MRZR accident during California training exercise. So what is an MRZR? It is a, for lack of a better term, if you see a picture of it, it looks like a dune buggy. All right. Stories out of Marine Corps Times, written by Sean Snow. Two Marine Raiders were injured, and one was later killed after a tactical vehicle accident during a training exercise Saturday at Camp Pendleton. Two Raiders received minor injuries and one sustained critical injuries as a result of a single vehicle accident during a training evolution. The vehicle involved was a Polaris MRZR. You can go check it out on the internet. Dune buggy looking thing. The vehicle's capable of carrying several Marines and combat equipment. The incident is currently under investigation. The identity of the Marine killed has not been released. You know, there was a similar incident, a rollover, in what's known as kind of the shelf area of Camp Pendleton, which is the northern part of the base. And there's, you know, pretty substantial mountains up there. And there's fire breaks. And sometimes people use those fire breaks as roads. And they're pretty steep. And when it gets foggy up there, which is what happened on this night, not the one currently, but the one I'm talking about, they were headed into a place they shouldn't have been headed, couldn't see, and were inching their way, and the vehicle lost traction and slid. It skidded, actually, I think, and then it rolled. So, anyway, Camp Pendleton got enough rugged terrain and that you can get sideways and hurry there. And the other thing is that, you know, those vehicles are not, they're not a whole, there's nothing to them, right? There's nothing to them. So when you start reading about them, pretty quickly you'll see an article that says in an age of IED, you know, these vehicles are, I mean, they look cool and all that, but you're not going to, you know, you can't certainly stand anything in it. So it's designed to be in an area where there are not IEDs. There are not IEDs. So anyway, our thoughts and prayers go out to a family that's been notified, and we'll keep our prayers, keep our fingers crossed that all the injured come out of that thing okay. The next story. Marine Corps Air Wing. Well, I don't know if I want to do this story yet. Lieutenant General Eric Smith, who's the commander of 3MEF, asked Marines in Japan, as a sign of respect to the community that is angry and in shock over a domestic violence incident that is a murder-suicide, General Smith asked the Marines and sailors of 3MEF in the wake of this terrible event that was perpetrated by a sailor assigned to 3MEF who murdered a Japanese woman and then killed himself, that he asked that the Marines be unobtrusive in a letter dated Sunday. The letter was made available Monday by U.S. military officials. The letter addressed to base leaders asked everyone to avoid unneeded shopping, eating out, and being overly loud so as to demonstrate solidarity with our Okinawan neighbors. The U.S. military identified this sailor as Gabriel Oliverio from North Carolina. Japan's foreign ministry said the sailor stabbed the woman and killed himself on Saturday. General Smith said in his letter, "It's just the decent, right, and neighborly thing to do." While noting that most American troops are doing good work, he was not asking them to hide or be ashamed. And again, the ongoing saga of the American relationship on Okinawa. Now, last week I talked about a story that talked about a veteran in Indiana is had to have his foot amputated as a result from care that was supposed to be done after he was treated for diabetes on his and that care never happened. As a result, his foot had to be amputated. Officials at the Indianapolis Veteran Affairs Hospital insist they want to fire the administrator whose mistakes led to the amputation of a veteran's foot due to missed home care appointments, but couldn't because the staff were retired before they could act. Quote, had the investigation been completed before the employee retired, the Rudebush Veterans Affairs Medical Center would have proposed the employee for termination. The employee chose to retire while the investigation was ongoing. There was nothing the center could do to stop it. There you have it. VA seems to be constantly in the news for all the wrong reasons. Good story. U.S. killed number two leader of ISIS in Somalia, according to officials. Abdul Hakim Dugab, who was responsible for the extremist group's daily operations, attack planning, and resource procurement, was killed in the vicinity of Zero in the Bari region on Sunday. The U.S. military has been supporting the government of Somalia as it increases the competency of its security forces and pushes back against extremist groups in the country. Quote, we continue to work with our Somali partners to keep pressure on the Al-Shabaab and the ISIS Somalia terror networks, Marine Corps Major General Greg Olson of U.S. Africa Command, who's the director of operations there. When it supports the strategy, we use precision airstrikes to target those who plan and carry out violent extremist activities that put Somalis at risk. So, you know, I will tell you what, for people that rise in ISIS or in Taliban or the Islamic State group, whatever faction it is, the way they do that is they learn how to survive in this area of cell phones and whatnot. And the fact that they that one of them somehow or other was compromised and then killed, that's no small deal. That's no small victory. Because honestly, they know how to survive. And you can't be on your cell phones. You can't do a whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, in another, I told you, not a lot of bad news for the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps identifies a Marine killed in the Beaufort Air Station barracks shooting. The shooting happened on Friday. The victim is Corporal Tyler Wallingford, 24-year-old aircraft ordnance technician assigned to an F-35B training squadron known as VMFAT. So V is fixed wing, M is Marine, FA is fighter attack, T is training, 501. He was killed following being shot in the barracks around 9:30 p.m. on Friday. Another Marine, Corporal Spencer T. Daly, also an ordnance tech with VMFAT 501, is a suspect in the incident and is currently in custody. So again, yeah, just you know, what the hell, man? What is that? But I guess about as stupid as it gets. So again, our thoughts and prayers out to his family. But as I said, not too much good news for the Marine Corps. In the news from late last week and over the weekend, here's a story that I want to talk about. All right, a command investigation detailed that a former site commander for Marine Wing Support Squadron 471. Okay, so what is that? That's a reserve headquarters, right? It's a reserve unit, right? Marine Wing Support Squadron, right? That's headquartered, I want to say, in Minneapolis, right? He sent inappropriate and sexually explicit text messages using his government-issued phone to at least three enlisted Marines. Results of a command investigation into misconduct by Major William E. Hernandez were handed over to NCIS and the 4th Marine Air Wing, where it resulted in a December 2018 general court-martial conviction. All right. Hernandez was found guilty of violating general regulations, obstruction of justice, and conduct unbecoming of an officer and a gentleman. And listen to this, was sentenced to 18 months of confinement and a $5,000 fine. Hernandez was a site commander for a ground aviation support unit, headquarters out of Minneapolis, where he oversaw active and reserve Marines. He was appointed to that position on September 22, 2016. He was removed from that position less than a year later, on August 21, 2017, after an enlisted Marine came forward with the allegation of inappropriate text messages and an equal opportunity complaint was filed against the commander. A message sent by Hernandez on May 20th, 2017 reads, "Don't want you to get all wet, LOL." The message stated, "You sure?" Hernandez responded, "Not right now." Like, are you kidding me? Other inappropriate messages received by an unidentified person from Hernandez include, "I should have locked myself in there at the armory with you, LOL. Those hips don't lie, but I'm sure you can shake them." Oh, man. Now, here's what I find interesting, right? You're going to have captains of vessels that kill sailors through their own negligence. And we're just going to shrug and say, oh, shit happens. Right? Bryce Benson, Natalie Combs, the two officers responsible for the movement of the USS Fitzgerald, just had all charges against them dropped because the chief of naval operations is running around, right, the country and doesn't have enough brains not to make public comments about the court-martial. At Parris Island, the battalion commander, where Gunny went to the brig for 10 years, got nothing. The company commander got nothing. The company first sergeant got nothing. The sergeant major got nothing. The regimental commander was immunized. So, I mean, send a text message, man. You touch that rail, you're dust. You're going to the brig. Honestly, military justice, what a joke. What an absolute joke. You have incompetent people in charge of incompetent people. Shit, it's like the VA. A friend of mine, who will remain nameless, sent me an article, and it's in the publication ProPublica. Now, if you've never heard of ProPublica, right? If you go to the About Us page, right, here's what they write. The mission, to expose abuses of power and betrayals of public trust by government, business, and other institutions using the moral force of investigative journalism to spur reform through the sustained spotlight of wrongdoing. ProPublica is an independent nonprofit newsroom that produces investigative journalism with moral force. We dig deep into important issues, shining a light on abuses of power and betrayals of public trust. And we stick with those issues as long as it takes to hold power to account. With a team of 75 dedicated journalists, ProPublica covers a range of topics including, and they list all them. Among other positive changes our reporting has contributed to in the passage of new laws, reversals of harmful policies and practices, and accountability for leaders at state and local levels. And then it talks about, it was founded in 2007, 2008 on the belief that investigative journalism is critical to our democracy. So anyway, that's what ProPublica is. The article is entitled, they have a series, right? They've done a series, Navy's Disaster in the Pacific. And it talks about the 7th Fleet. Now, the article that my friend sent me is, quote, the headline is, "How the Navy's Top Commander Botched the Highest Profile Investigation in Years." A subheadline, on Wednesday of last week, the Navy said it was abandoning all remaining criminal charges against sailors involved in fatal accidents in the Pacific. Here's how the actions of the Chief of Naval Operations helped doom the cases. And there's a picture of John Richardson speaking to sailors in their blueberry camouflage uniform. Richardson, and so the article kind of centers around a lieutenant commander who was who's a lawyer, right? Her name is Lieutenant Commander Jennifer Polio, P-O-L-L-I-O. and she was listening to the Chief of Naval Operations speak. She said she could not believe what she was hearing. Right? So he addresses, and he's addressing an auditorium filled with Navy attorneys. He gets asked, right? Two collisions of warships in the Pacific in the summer of 2017 that left 17 sailors dead in the Navy's worst maritime accident. The Navy had recently announced that it would criminally prosecute the captains of the vessels and several crew members for negligence leading to the fatal accident. The questioner wanted to know whether the officers now had to worry about being charged with the crime for making what could be regarded as a mistake. Now, so if you're involved in that as the Chief of Naval Operations, how do you respond to that? I think the answer goes something like this. I can't comment on the specifics of that case. All I can tell you is that they're leadership principles that we live by. And as long as you practice those leadership principles, you don't have to worry about anything. Right? Next question. Can't answer any more than that. Anyway, Richardson answered by saying that he could not discuss the Penny case. As a bedrock principle of military law, commanders cannot signal a preferred outcome. But then, almost as an afterthought, he attempted to reassure the man that the collisions were no accidents. I have seen the entire investigation. Trust me, if you had seen what I have seen, it was negligent. So much for not making a comment, right? Polio, a Navy attorney, was alarmed. It appeared to her that Richardson had effectively pronounced guilt before the trial. And he had done so in public, in front of an audience whose members could conceivably participate in the military's judicial proceedings. So when does Richardson get a letter from Dunford that says, hey, stupid, you just worsened the pain of every one of these families. Every one of these families that are dealing with somebody dying and who we told that we would hold the appropriate people accountable, now they get nothing. You want to know why they get nothing? Because of our utter incompetence. In a room full of attorneys, this, the Chief of Naval Operations doesn't have the brains to not comment on that. Lieutenant Commander Polio, quote, I was shocked that he would say that. She recalled that in her court testimony as she was called to the stand. Yet the January meeting was neither the first time nor the last that Richardson would be accused of attempting to influence the results of the inquiry into the collisions of the USS Fitzgerald and the USS John McCain. That fall, Richardson had told reporters at a press conference that the ship's officers were at fault because of their negligence. On another occasion, he told reporters that there was nothing that was outside the commanding officer and the crew's span of control before the collisions. In testimony before Congress, he again held the captains of the ships culpable, saying that they had complete ownership of the causes of the collision. Like, what? What doesn't say, okay, and this is in the wake of all the shit that General Amos got into when the lawyers who advised him about what he couldn't and could not say screwed that up. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to read this. Right? Well, that was a long time ago, though, Mac. Oh, yeah, what was it, 3 years ago? Maybe not even that long that the last case was adjudicated? His pursuit of accountability for individual sailors has been deeply troubled, and the prosecutions of men and women on the two destroyers are today in shambles. Indeed, Richardson, who holds the most senior uniform position in the Navy, was found by a judge to have violated the protections against undue command influence, a stunning result in one of the most high-profile cases of military justice in years. So I'll put this article I'll put the link to the article. But again, you can go to ProPublica, ProPublica, and you can find it. The link is right on their front page. See Admiral Richardson and Distress White. And I just want to listen to a little bit more. A ProPublica examination of the cases based on confidential Navy documents, emails among top officials, court records, and interviews showed that the criminal prosecution of the accidents involving the Fitzgerald and the McCain were marred by questionable decisions and egregious mistakes. What does egregious mean? Outstandingly bad, shocking. Okay? There you have it. There's your word for the day. Now you're smarter. Last Wednesday, after ProPublica informed the Navy of its findings, the Navy told families of the fallen sailors that Richardson will announce that he is dismissing the cases against the captain of the Fitzgerald and a junior officer. Instead, both will receive letters of censure from Richard Spencer, who's the Secretary of the Navy, which is a public finding of wrongdoing. Quote, the cases are being dismissed for legal reasons that impeded the continued prosecution of either officer, read the message. Quote, your loved one did not die in vain. Their legacy lives in the form of a stronger and more capable Navy. The unraveling of the cases against the sailors began soon after the collisions. Richardson's subordinates, 2 3-star admirals, handed out an initial round of punishments to sailors and officers on the 2 destroyers, but decided against pursuing criminal charges. They found the wrongdoing not serious enough to recommend a court-martial. Concerned about the outcomes and under fire from Congress, Richardson ordered a second review of the evidence that resulted in criminal charges against 6 officers and enlisted crew members on the Fitzgerald and the McCain. The array of charges included negligent homicide against the 2 captains and junior officers, accusations that could have led to 3 years in prison and a dishonorable discharge. The review was overseen by a 4-star admiral, right, on Richardson's staff, with no known experience in conducting court-martials. And yet another surprising development, a judge eventually ruled that the admiral had worked with prosecutors to develop evidence against the captain of the Fitzgerald instead of acting as a neutral arbiter. The judge ultimately disqualified the admiral, throwing the case into legal limbo. You know, again, so what's astounding is that, like, what is this, like, amateur hour? 17 sailors are dead. And we're gonna convene the shit show. Richardson's number 2, Admiral Bill Moran, who was also found to have engaged in, quote, apparent unlawful command influence. The judge said that the public remarks on the case made by Richardson and Moran were no slips of the tongue, but part of a coordinated message that risked tainting some of the criminal evidence. Richardson and Moran, quote, knew they should not discuss the specifics of the case, yet repeatedly did so, the judge ruled. At every stage, Navy prosecutors failed to convince judges and jurors of the legitimacy of their allegations. The charges of negligent homicide were dropped. Criminal charges against another officer were dismissed, and at least 4 separate military panels have ruled in favor of sailors that the Navy sought to expel from the service. Richardson and Moran, who was nominated Wednesday to be the next Chief of Naval Operations, declined to comment, citing pending cases. Not anymore. The Navy declined to make any official available for an on-the-record interview, but it provided a legal expert to provide comment anonymously. There you have it. Moral courage at its finest. So again, what you see in the article, if you're interested in such cases as I am, the article's stunning, right? It's absolutely stunning. So, I'm going to see if I can track down these guys and get them to come on and talk about it. But honestly, You watch military justice when something happens, and you watch the way they go about it. And again, we looked at the Haditha stuff. You've heard, you know, you've heard those attorneys on this program. And shit was a disaster. It was a disaster. So, again, I'll put this link in the article. Again, it's on ProPublica. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Major General David J. Furness, United States Marine Corps. At his invitation, we did post-traumatic winning for about another 3,000 Marines at Camp Lejeune, on last week. So you'll get his thoughts on it. And he's seen it now 17 or 18 times. I can't remember. Yeah. But he likes it. More of All Marine, more of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.